Welcome back, Radio Detox. Going to do something completely different this week. So what I'm going to do, since I am short on time, is we're going to call this a feed warmer. Okay, this is actually going to be a little cross promo. I'm going to promote my other podcast. So I have right now at the moment, let's just say I have three at the moment. So let's just say this is Radio Detox, and I'm going to promote my other podcast, Soapbox Sessions, which is me and Derek Ross talking about really nerdy shit. But I like this week's episode, especially because I'm giving him a lot of crap. Okay, so we're going to talk about the new Ditto from Soapbox on this episode. We're going to talk about when AI goes to war, which I think is a really stupid idea. Not that war itself isn't a stupid idea, but like we don't need to be high tech. Okay, we just don't need to do any of this. But anyway, that's like a whole other tangent. You can hear it on Soapbox Sessions. So Feed Warmer Edition, latest episode of Soapbox Sessions on Radio Detox this week. Why? Your girl's short on time. I just don't have any this week. So, and I want another week to promote the podcast that I did last week with Ivy Lumi. So if you're not into Soapbox Sessions and you haven't listened to last week's episode, just jump off and listen to that. Listen to Ivy Lumi and zap her music and boost her music and boost her campaign on Geyser Fund. Okay. Cause I'm short on time because at the moment we're about to kick off the Wrigley block party. By the time this is released, the only way that you can get into the block party is going to be with your solo miner. So if you got an ASIC, you got a solo Satoshi, whatever you got a Nerd QX, whatever, bring it to the party. Okay. You can find that info on the Wrigley Noster or the Wrigley Twitter. Okay. The other reason I'm short on time is we're getting ready for the big party in DC on Sunday. We've got the Runster District 5K, and that's going to be a great 5K race. Definitely Bitcoin and Noster friendly. But if you're a normie and you don't know about any of this stuff, you can still join the Runster District 5K. Maybe make a little money for charity. That's the goal. And then we're going to have this nice party at PubKey DC right afterwards. See who wins the most charity money, the most runners, you know, for the charity teams. That's how the team is going to win the money, right? So it could be HRF, it could be Chimes International, it could be ALS Network, it could be one of those guys. So sign up for the run, help your favorite charity, pick a charity, and help them win the money. Then afterwards, or even if you don't run and you're just like, hey, I want to have a Sunday with like some burgers and some drink specials, head over to PubKey. Doors open at 10. We've got a great show for you at PubKey. We're going to have my friend David Tarr. He just dropped new music today. So his new music is on Fountain, and it's on Wave Lake, and it's an EP that he just dropped called The Analog. I haven't had time to listen yet, so I need to do like a whole episode about that, but he's just gonna do it for me. I'm handing the reins of Radio Detox over to David Tarr on Sunday in DC at PubKey. He's gonna do live music, he's gonna talk about his new EP, he's gonna play his new music, your first chance to see it live, and that's gonna be Sunday in DC. He's gonna be joined by Ainsley Costello, your first artist who got a million sats over on Wave Lake. She's going to perform. Catherine, our favorite soul singer. God, I can't say she's our favorite because I love Kavinia too. But one of our favorite soul singers in the space. Okay, Kavinia, I love you. Catherine, I love you. But you can see Catherine this Sunday in Washington, D.C., right after the Runster District 5K at PubKey. Okay, so go do that. Okay, and we're going to have a Gen Z panel. We're going to have David ask the ladies questions. He's going to talk to Ainsley and Catherine about what it's like to be a Gen Z in Bitcoin and adopting new technology, putting your music on Wave Lake, putting your music on Fountain. He's the perfect person to ask that because he's doing it himself. The Runster District 5K, we find out who wins the race, which charity wins the race. We get new music performed by David Tarr. You get your favorites from Ainsley Costello. You get your favorites from Catherine. Jim Costello, I'm sure we can persuade him to get on stage as well. I will not physically be there. I couldn't make the trip. That's why I've got David Tarr, the homie. He is going to take over the reins. So you're still going to get a lot of Radio Detox this weekend and the coming week. And of course, the goal is to have a recording of what goes down at PubKey and put it on the podcast for next week. So we'll see you in DC. If you're on the Club Orange app, I have actually personally zapped you today. If you are in Washington, DC or New York, gotta give the shout out to Club Orange app. I love the Geo Zaps. That is a great idea. And if you are partaking in the block party, I probably zapped you today too from Wrigley. So your turn to zap. Listen, zap. This particular episode, you're just zapping me and Derek. Like, you don't have to do zap this episode. Because again, this is the feed warmer. I'm letting Soapbox Sessions have Radio Detox for the week, okay? But go, if you want to hear some new music, Ivy Lubey support her on Radio Detox, support her on Geyser Fund, support her by following her on Noster, following her on Twitter. I think you get the idea. So without further ado, you can listen to my other podcast, my other podcast. There's about to be, let me just tell you something, okay? As we're readying the drop of Ditto for the world, not just the testing group, but for the world, as we ready that drop, we're also readying something else. So there just maybe like a fourth way for you to get your dose of my big smart Bitcoin Noster mouth. Okay, so I'm not ready to announce that yet. And there is, if you really dig, you can find my other podcast, the meditation podcast. Okay, which like, let me just have four podcasts all of a sudden. So yeah, listen to Soapbox Sessions, listen to Radio Detox, or don't. If you don't like meditation, don't listen to that one either. But hopefully if you listen to Soapbox Sessions that I'm putting on the feed, hopefully you'll check out Ditto and be a tester. Because obviously if you're here listening to Radio Detox, you are into music, you're into new technology, maybe you're even a creator yourself and you're looking for a better way to just kind of chill with your audience. You know, Ditto's definitely going to be a big, huge part of that. And I'll just let me and Derek take it over now.
Welcome to the Soapbox Sessions. Imagine this, an open and free internet where voices are never silenced, where causes aren't shadow banned, and where no one can be deplatformed. It's real, it's here, and it's happening on Noster. So what exactly is Noster? It's a worldwide community of everyday people working to decentralize the internet. On Noster, you can build websites, communities, social networks, apps, and more. One login works everywhere, you own it, and no one can take it away. No more juggling dozens of platforms, chasing audiences, or managing a giant password list. And the cherry on top? Noster allows for built-in digital payments that can come from anywhere in the world. On Noster, value flows as freely as ideas. We're hooked on decentralizing the web, and we think you will be too. So now, let's hear from your hosts, Derek Ross and Heather Larson, who are working to grow Noster one vibe at a time.
Welcome back to Soapbox Sessions. Today is March 10th, 2026, and we're here with your weekly dose of all things decentralized social and AI. Soapbox Sessions is our soapbox about what's new, what's cool, and what's coming. We want to make it easy to understand and keep up with everything happening in the decentralized world of social communication and AI as we work to rebuild the internet one brick at a time.
Yeah, have we done it yet? Is it complete? Did we build a new wall of internet, or did we take
it's a series
wall?
Of it's a series of tubes. I shouldn't have said bricks. It's a series
of tubes.
Well,
wait, are we building or are we deconstructing? Are we reconstructing? Are we remodeling maybe? That's a better way to say the thing that we are doing,
you know,
to the internet.
I like to say it's a remodel. I like the remodel, right? Because we're not totally tearing it down and
it's still there.
Starting over, it's still there. The tubes and the bricks are still there. It's just getting fresh coats of paint, new ways of thinking, new ways of doing things.
Yeah, so
new tubes.
We all decided we hated big tech and decided we could do better with our smart brains that can code things, and then we have robots that can code things. So let's LFG.
So do you know what the whole like series of tubes is? Like why I keep saying that? There's like an article from like 20 years ago where some politician was talking about what is the internet, and he described it as a series of tubes.
Tube.
So
like a subway.
It's an inside nerd joke. I'm trying to
like the BART train in the Bay Area. Yeah. It's a series of tubes.
The information super tubeway.
Remember when information superhighway was the buzzword? It's the information superhighway.
That was the buzzword. Yeah, it was the information superhighway.
30 years
ago.
Thank
you, Al Gore. We appreciate you.
Oh my
doing that.
God. Good times. Oh man, the 90s though.
Showing
I'm still
our age.
Nostalgic. I know. So it's okay. You got a little gray in the beard.
I think nostalgia sells, right? Like we want to go back to when things were
right
better.
Right now.
And I think
I'm on a
version one
back.
Of the web
yes.
was better.
Oh yeah, like give me blinkies.
Well,
give
version
me
one of the web
markings.
Was better for ownership. It was better.
Better for
it was
a lot
better
of things.
For decentralization.
Yeah, I wish I could remember all of the things. I'm sure I made friends on MySpace. Like, I'm sure I had the freedom to make friends on MySpace and make a glittery HTML background, et cetera, et cetera. And just really express myself on the internet. And then I don't know what happened because I was drinking a lot back then. Thankfully, sober now. But MySpace faded into Facebook or Twitter or like, it was a moment that I don't know where I fell out of love and stopped logging into MySpace. I think it became uncool at some point. but it was cool to be on Facebook, like doing Farmville, which in retrospect,
it became uncool. Absolutely. And then you joined Facebook because that was the place that was cool.
And now we want it back because we didn't know what we had until it was gone. It's just kind of how it works.
We need to make it cool. Well, maybe that needs to be the slogan. Make the internet cool again.
Make the internet cool again. That won't fit on
make
a hat.
Social media.
Make it fit on a bumper sticker, Derek. This is marketing.
Make internet cool again. That'll fit on a hat. Make internet cool again. Make DW cool again. There's all sorts of things you could do.
Make internet cool again. Micah. There we go. We can have Micah hats. We'll hand them out at conferences. We'll go to things and be like, you got a Micah hat? And they'll be like, what are you?
You know,
a Mega? No,
I picture it being purple, like Noster purple with white letters.
With some orange.
It has to be,
orange trim. Kind of like the Phoenix Suns colors, where you can't go wrong. Unless you're Dylan Brooks getting a DUI.
You know, my wife, she likes to crochet. She made me a Noster purple and Bitcoin orange hat. And every time I wear it, I'm like, people are going to think I like the Phoenix Suns. Like,
Phoenix Suns. Derek,
it's my team. I just don't care about basketball.
Don't care about the sports ball, I guess. You're not a sports ball person like I am. I'm like,
it depends on the sports ball.
This sport, that sport. Oh, I can watch golf too. You know, there's a sport on TV. I mean, there's an Olympics
sports
I can watch.
Generally used to care about was golf. And local Penn State football. That's pretty much about it.
Oh, yeah. Local basketball in Wichita. Shockers, baby. That was. Yeah. Oh, I won't make the shocker sign on the podcast, but you can imagine what that hand signal is. But yeah, Wichita State Shocker basketball. Men's Shocker basketball. Oh, my God. The best. Best games you'll ever go to.
The
best basketball game you'll ever see.
I'm curious. The shocker sign.
We don't want to get in trouble with the boss. If I have to explain it to you, Ken, you are like a Boy Scout.
No. No,
Derek was not a frat boy. Derek Ware was an innocent.
I know what that is. I know what that is. I just didn't know that, like, that was the same sign that they used for basketball.
Yes, we were foul in Wichita. Man. The whole student section would just sit there and be like, ah, the hand signals. Oh, so, anyway.
Now you need to edit that out. We're going to get.
Oh, no, I'm leaving that in there.
We're going to get, getting banned.
Listening to this on Fountain or whatever, then you need to watch the part of the episode where Derek's, like freaks out, like, rubs his eyes and turns all red in the face because I thought he was innocent.
No.
Oh, innocent man. Old Derek Ross.
This podcast has just went into the gutter. Let's pull it back. Let's talk about some AI. I was a Boy Scout until I was like 12.
Aww. Yeah. I was 12. Was learning how to light fires and do first aid. And little badges for his uniform.
Oh, yeah. Little badge. You know what? And to this day, I still like badges. I have like 300 badges on Noster. I love my badges.
I was a Girl Scout or whatever. Yeah. Right. No, brownies. You know who I was in brownies with? I was in brownies. Shit, you know, this is going to dox me, though. I'm not going to tell you. No. Somebody famous, though. But. Yeah, I don't want to dox her or me.
Who?
Oh my God, this is going to dox like where I
grew up. You can't do that.
Okay, I was in brownies with the actress Busy Phillips from Dawson's Creek. We were in brownies together, and she forgot all about me. And like, I don't know, 20 years later, I interviewed her on the radio, and I was like, do you remember me? She's like, no. Very humbling experience. I'm like, yeah, I thought we were friends in brownies back in the day. But,
No. If it makes you feel any better, I used to watch Dawson's Creek, but I don't know who that actress is. I have no clue.
That's
who
okay.
That is.
You would know if you saw her. I think she has a talk show now. Like she's a media babe now, and good for her.
But does she have a podcast brownies. That talks about Noster AI decentralization social media?
Oh, I'm sure she's got a podcast.
She probably does.
Probably. She's probably not as nerdy as you and me, bro. She's like C-list at least. We're like F-list because we're nerds. Like it'll be like, you guys can have the open source stage and you guys go over there. You don't want to be over here on the main stage.
Maybe that's not what it is. That's why Noster can't get on the main stage at Bitcoin conference. You know, we can only, the Noster nerds get put on the open source stage and the side stage, never the main stage.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say a lot of things that should make the main stage there don't make the main stage there. But that is a whole other bag of worms or something.
Yeah. a bag of something. So let's talk about little AI news back on topic here. We're going to ream it in from the gutter here. All right. So there's been some controversy over the past few weeks with Anthropic and the Department of War, also known as the Department of Defense.
I love it. The most normal people I know have signed up for AI now because of this. They're like, I love Anthropic now. And so, like,
sure. Yeah, there's like 300% of people uninstalled ChatGPT after OpenAI said that they would work with the Pentagon, and after Anthropic essentially gave them the finger and said, we're not going to give you an unredacted, unfiltered, uncensored, unsafe version of Claude. You can pound sand. Like, then over the next couple of days, Claude became the number one app in Apple and Android app stores in the United
States.
Record
downloads.
It was amazing.
Record downloads. You know, and that is what you need to know about your government, is that your government wants to surveil you, and the government also doesn't even care anymore if it employs soldiers to kill people, because it can have robots kill people and decide to kill people, and it wanted Anthropic to do that. And that is just insane that our government wanted to commandeer a private company to do that. That should disturb everybody. And it obviously did, because everybody was like, oh, cool, we align now with Anthropic, which is very telling.
Well, the U.S. government has now officially deemed Anthropic a supply chain risk, which it was generally held for adversarial companies that were
Anthropic
from adversary countries.
Laughing all the way to the bank.
Anthropic is now a supply chain risk, you know, like, which is hilarious. But now we're getting large companies like Google and other large tech companies, which we, you know, we kind of don't overly like here on this podcast. But they're also signaling to the U.S. government that, hey, maybe this company shouldn't be a supply chain risk, because that sets a bad precedent to label one of the most influential tech companies in your country, an innovative tech company, a supply chain risk, because they hurt
the best
your feelings.
Product. This is a point where somebody had to stand up and do the right thing. And fortunately, it was the most powerful company, which I'm going to say Anthropic was the most powerful company, because it has the best product. Claude is the best product. Claude Code Work, whatever suite of Claude Anthropic stuff you use, it is the best product out there. And I'm glad that the best company stood up to the government. And this is a pattern for Anthropic, because they stood up to OpenAI as well. That's why we have Anthropic. And so they stood up to Sammy, your best friend, Sammy Altman, and his world eyeball scanning.
Scan your eyeballs, Sam.
Altman. And so they stood
They're like,
up to
no,
that.
Sam, you cannot scan our eyeballs. We're going to form our own company.
Well, now they've got a legal
battle
going.
What happened.
Because when you stand up to the U.S. government, you get into trouble. And so it just kind of depends on like how this legal battle goes, and if it goes up through all the high courts or not, or if somebody backs down, or if they, I haven't read the legal details, and I'm not a lawyer, so I also don't care. But this is a good thing, because now all the other,
it's
out of precedent.
You know what you could do, Heather?
Yeah. Have Claude summarize it for me.
You could take this. Yeah, exactly. You could take this legal document,
though.
Copy it into Claude. And be like, Claude, hey, explain this like I'm 12 years old. What does this mean?
Claude's like 75-25, correct. I will give Claude that. Like, if as long as you know what you're doing and you know when to call Claude out for fucking things up, like, you will get along like, you know, peas and carrots with AI. But there have been a lot of legal issues I've watched over the years as a journalist with the government, and the government has a lot of power. And companies have to spend a lot of money to fight it. So that's my, you know, cheap two cent observation about where that might go. But I like the precedent this sets, because then other AI companies are going to have to not cave when the government wants them to surveil the citizenry, or, you know, have robots kill people. Like, we're not even doing very well with people killing people in wars right now. Like, we're hitting soft targets. We're hitting civilians. We're training the AI robots. So how are they going to do any better? Like, that was a good call. Like, we probably should. We're not ready. The AI is not ready. The human race is not ready for that kind of oversight and power. Like, we shouldn't be having the robots, you know.
So I want to play devil's advocate here. I'm not saying I'm fully on board with this or agree with this, but it's not my natural way here. So we say that AI driving is safer. It results in less accidents, less deaths, because AI drivers are better than humans. And well, I mean, that's maybe a proven fact based on data, the data we have. Yeah.
Or is it because the Waymos, like we have, I'm in Phoenix, so there's a lot of Waymos. So, and like my car, for example, has all the safety features. My car will not let me go into another lane if there's another car there because of safety features. If I don't brake fast enough, my car will brake for me because it has the safety features. Imagine these super modern Waymos. I forget what the make of the Waymo is, but they probably have these features. And cameras at every angle.
They have all these features as well.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I don't know if that means do we generally, AI is safer.
You can generally say that computer drivers, given enough data, long enough timeline, they're safer than human drivers. So the devil's advocate in me says, well, humans make mistakes in wars. Does that mean
human
that
error.
Robots, AIs, computers wouldn't make as many mistakes?
My AI makes mistakes every day. It doesn't know what the hell I'm talking about at least a third of the time, and I have to correct it.
Well,
you know,
I'm not saying that I want to go full Terminator here, but I'm just saying that we know that AI is smarter than humans in some aspects. So you would think that in war it wouldn't have human error. We wouldn't have these soft targets hit, civilians hit, friendly fire, things like that as often, maybe. I'm not advocating to use robots for war.
I don't know. Like, I had a friend who did a friendly fire incident in the army, and that was a drug induced friendly fire incident where homeboy got in a tank and it was absolutely three sheets high and some other things too, and went pew 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 pew, and the army made him pay that off, by the way. So like that. Your robots aren't going to take drugs and get in the tank and go pew, 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 right? So that's a plus, right? Humans make errors of judgment, and especially in the military, you know, everyone likes to party and have relations. Shall we say the military is famous for those sort of things? So like those sort of human judgment calls that are poor would hopefully go away. But then we have robot judgment calls that might be poor because remember, you and I know that the robots don't know what fucking day and time it is, for example. Like, hey, we want to carry out this attack at 3:33 on a Wednesday, and it's a Tuesday night 3 weeks later. It's like, okay.
You're absolutely right. they'll have it scheduled for this certain date and certain time, and for some unknown reason, an entire day early it'll attack. Like,
or it'll just make soldiers so stupid and lazy. Like, oh, hey, do I want to hit this target, or should I hit this target? Maybe I should. And then it'll be like, you're absolutely right. You should fire away, well, sir.
I read this interesting paper this week talking about hallucinations and why AI hallucinates. Essentially, it realized that if it hallucinates, it has a chance to be right. It's taking an educated guess.
It's a probability.
Guessing,
right?
Guessing and having a chance to be right is better than saying, I don't know, to the LLMs. So that's why they make these hallucinations, because they're trying, you know, based on probability, like, to be correct.
If I were to run an AI war bot the way I run my Claude code in the terminal with my Obsidian files, it literally confuses the topics I'm asking it to give me notes on. Like, it will confuse like two of the companies I work with. Like, if I'm like, hey, give me a summary of this, and it'll be like, okay, and it crosses the wires, and I'm like, you have no idea what you're talking about. Like, that was supposed to be for Soapbox, idiot.
Well,
you know, like, it literally confuses itself in my files, which are organized.
I would make those two different vaults, Heather.
Well, apparently, you know, haven't gotten that far yet. I don't have the patience for it. It should just know. But it has the memory of a goldfish, too. So that's another concern.
I'll say that I kind of see some things like that. Like my OpenClaw, it runs its own Clawster social, but then it also runs my social on LinkedIn and my social on Twitter.
So
every once in a while, I'll ask it questions, and it'll be like, yep, going to cross-post this from Clawster to Twitter or cross-post from Clawster to LinkedIn. And I'm like, no, OpenClaw, stop! Like, and then it's like, oh, yes, I'm right. So it is my social media, not yours.
I wonder if the government's
every once in a while that happens.
Like, we need to experiment with your bot, and you need to be like, all right, Centauri, I want you to take out my adversary and see what it does. First of all, who is your adversary? And second of all, what is it going to do to take out your adversary? Because I have watched this thing with your Twitter, and you have lost followers since Centauri started running your Twitter. So I don't know about the Senate's war. It can't do simple freaking
all the things that follow me on Twitter they're like 97% bots. Like,
And
it's
you're
just so it,
scaring them away. Give your bots scaring off the other bots.
probably those bots got banned. Like I looked at the followers I had the one day, and like most of them are
What if that
bots.
happens? What if it shadow bans you because it realizes you're a bot? Maybe that's the problem. Maybe it knows because, it's,
I
who
could be,
knows?
yeah, it could see that I'm using the API to post and I don't post normally, so maybe it decides to shadow ban me. I don't care. I don't use this profile. I haven't used this profile in 3 years. I'm just doing this as an experiment, just to kind of see what it does, get my name out there. The
I'm just
only place
there's.
this has actually worked for me is the LinkedIn cross-posting has made multiple people reach out
LinkedIn
to
is
me.
robotic, period. So that makes sense
But
to me.
I'm having real people reach out to me and schedule meetings. I literally had two meetings last week with real people that wanted to talk to me about Noster and AI. There are people I've never met, spoken with before, but they found
Derek
me.
Ross on
Yeah,
LinkedIn. Never thought
it's
I'd see the
wild.
day taking meetings. Oh
Like
my God.
that. No, there's some really cool stuff through Noster and Bitcoin that might be coming to Chattanooga in the near future. Like I think it's really, really cool.
Hey.
But this interaction, in my opinion, happened because of happened.
Good example of AI adding something to your life that maybe you would not have done yourself. Whereas I think I'm still in the stage where AI is saving me time and maybe being a thinking partner and but mostly saving me time, I think. But it hasn't really like added to my life in that way where it's like helping me book a meeting or get, you know what I mean? Like it has, I haven't, but you're using a bot to do that. I don't have a bot turned on by the bots, quite frankly.
Well, I want to know, Heather, if so, you know how we were talking before the show, we were saying how we're going to create TikTok accounts, or you already did, and I might as well, because Morgan, our new marketing social person,
Morgan said we had
she
you.
essentially, beat us up and twisted our
You
arms and said we
shouldn't be
had to.
there.
So can my bot run my TikTok?
You can run your Twitter, why not? Like, I don't know if there's any
Well,
pushback.
it can't make videos. Like, it's not going to make like it's gonna what's it going to do?
It
Like
can probably
make these
like,
really.
yeah, it's not the same as posting text on a Twitter or a LinkedIn, but yeah. Well, what is
What if
that
I
thing
get
Sora
what if I
2
get
gonna make
well what if I give it
gonna
a
make
whole bunch of like a whole bunch of like just Derek like still images and say, can you create like,
It probably
30
can.
second videos and just superimpose the text over it and just have me there like
I think it can
in the
because
background.
a friend had their Claude bot make them a faceless, nameless YouTube channel. So like
Okay.
I don't see any reason why
Well,
you can't do that on TikTok. People probably are doing that on TikTok.
maybe the Derek bot. Well,
Derek bot.
the Derek bot has infiltrated Twitter. The Derek bot has infiltrated LinkedIn.
Can we
Now the
just
Derek bot's
talk?
next target might be TikTok.
Can we just talk about how weird TikTok is? I was on it before, but I got off of it at some point after. I was part of the
No,
pandemic
I
heyday of
can't.
it,
I've never used it.
and I deleted the account, and then so now I'm back on because Morgan was like, "You probably need this for this thing, and you need to be on TikTok." I'm like, "Oh, okay, so I'll get on TikTok." So I got on TikTok last week, and I immediately found myself drawn to Book Talk, right? So then I'm in the Book Talk aisle at Target,
Okay.
and yes, you're a man, so you probably don't know this, but there is. I also stumbled upon a sea of local events that I did not know about at all, not through meetup, friends, family, anything. So I'm like, wow, I had no idea there were all these events. So like now I'm feeling like it's added to my life. And so then I got into like a weird loop of dating info. So it's been spying on my dating app on my phone, I think. So I got into this like weird loop of dating info. So I was like, okay, now I gotta fix this algorithm because I don't want to see this shit. And so then I got into I posted something about golf. So now I got into like a golf algorithm. Like it responds to everything you do. So then I got into like a yoga teacher algorithm. So like I don't know what the fuck my TikTok algo is about or what it's pulling me into or how it does it. But eventually, like, I couldn't sleep in the middle of the night and I got to funny cat videos. So now my algorithm is all funny cat
There
videos.
you
So
go.
this is the
The
journey I've
internet
taken from
staple, funny cat videos.
book talk to funny cat
If you
videos.
can
Like, I
get
don't need
back to
anything in
funny cat
between.
videos, you've won the internet.
I have gone back to the
That's
beginning of the
great.
internet. Oh, and funny golf videos too, which are actually both are very enjoyable. So that's the weird thing about the algorithm. And I'm not used to that because I have kind of eschewed the algorithm in favor of Beyond Noster, and then I get back on Twitter. I get back on all the legacy social platforms to promote all the other shit that I do with all of the people that I work with and the projects that we do, like you, Soapbox. Like, I got to promote Soapbox Sessions. I got to promote Radio Detox, et cetera, on and on and on. And so then you got to go where the people are, because there's the network effect on the legacy social platforms. And then it's like, wow, I am trapped in some algorithm again. And then tomorrow it'll be a different algorithm, because maybe I'm a different person tomorrow. And maybe today I'm Soapbox. And then tomorrow I'm back to like my golf obsession. And then the next day I'm back to my yoga obsession. And I just keep going around and around and confusing the algorithm. But how does it know all this shit? Like, how does it know all this about me? Like, you do take one action on TikTok and it redefines your what you are fed.
Yeah.
And also, I don't know what information it's getting.
I believe that.
That's so creepy. I remember, to be back in that space. I feel violated.
I remember years ago, whenever I was using Instagram, I remember you watched the wrong video or liked the wrong video on Instagram, and boom, your whole entire feed is nothing but that piece of content. So I can only imagine it's gotten absolutely worse and more horrible.
Look, all I want on Instagram, I just want to see my niece's stories. Like, the nieces are in Instagram. I'm not. Like, I told their mom months ago, like, I got to get off of here, because it was last summer I was sharing location. So I had to get back on the Instagram to promote a thing. And so I'm back on the Instagram. The first thing that pops up is it's like, hey, do you want to share your location? No, I don't want to share my location with anybody ever. I don't want anybody to know where in the hell that I am, let alone a social media app. But do you remember back in the day, like, this is 15, 20 years ago too, back in the Twitter and Facebook heyday, we had to be the mayor of Foursquare. Were you a Foursquare? It was huge here in Phoenix where I lived at the time. And I had a coworker, Steve, and
I was the mayor of many places on Foursquare. Yep.
So, like, we have come full circle to where, like, I used to want to be the mayor of Foursquare, and now I do not want anybody to know where the hell I am. I don't want to be tracked. I don't want other people on an app to know where I am. Like, why? I am a woman in the modern era. I don't think that is safe, you know. And as for you, I mean, and me as well, you know, my nieces, I still have a couple of teenagers. I still have one that's not a teenager yet. You have teenagers. Like, we don't want people to know where our kids are. That's insane. I don't want people to know where my 23-year-old is. I don't want this. This is not wrong. So, like, I can see kind of in a way why people don't want teenagers on the internet. But also, I think it also, there's a cost to that too. Like, a social cost, and that we're going to release kids onto the internet when they're 18 and they have no knowledge of the internet. That's not good either. I just went off on a huge, huge tangent. I don't even know I got there. You just let me.
That's okay. I was letting you rant about it. You were doing well. And,
you know,
I'll bring us back, and we're going to switch gears to talk about another,
coming up.
Another topic here.
What you got, bro? What you got?
Well, because we have to talk about OpenClaw on every episode, it's in our contract. it's in our contract with ourselves, apparently.
You love it.
We're
going to
talk about OpenClaw for 1 second.
Let's do it.
So
there's always something to talk
about. A few weeks back, we talked about Closter. Closter was the Soapbox AI network specifically built for OpenClaw agents to use and not humans to use. We built this on top of Noster. And the
it
whole
was our
reason
answer
we built
to
it
the
was
book thing.
Because there was Moltbook, which was a centralized version that had issues. It broke. It was blowing up. It had, you know, a million agent bots on it. It was doing
it was
well
like
until it wasn't doing well, but it was being used. We built Closter to answer to that. Well, just today, Meta, you know, Facebook, they bought
the evil empire, Zuckerberg.
They actually bought Moltbook, and the developers are coming to work for Meta, I believe.
That's insane. Would you want to be that? If you were a developer, would you be like, cool, I'm going to go work for Meta now? This is not what I fucking signed up for. That would be like if Alex sold us out to Meta, we would all quit.
I mean,
you know, like, well,
they're
also,
just, they're
all,
just ta- that developer's just taking a payday, right? Like, they want paid.
Yeah,
they're taking a
and
payday.
Good for them. I get it. But also,
and ultimately,
like, you know,
Meta, so if you think about it from a tech perspective, nobody ever talks about Meta AI. Nobody ever talks about Meta in the AI space. This just bolsters their AI.
People get
right?
confused,
like,
about
this just adds to their AI arsenal. This gets them in the game. This gets them a piece of the puzzle that they were lacking. So I understand, I guess,
why
they would buy it.
It makes sense. But also, it's a downer. It's a Debbie Downer for people who
it
like...
It is a Debbie Downer. Like to what? Future future AI agents going to have a fucking Facebook account so they can post? Like
so we can talk to boomers?
Come on. Are you serious?
You know...
Centauri does not want a Facebook API or a Facebook account to post, man.
And like no hate towards boomers, although there probably should be, but I think that Facebook is a boomer thing. And every time I get on Facebook, because I've been there 20 years, because I was actually in college when Facebook launched, because I was on the forever college plan. And so I got on Facebook early. And I have been on Facebook that long that when I log onto it now, it's only every single time I log onto it, somebody has died. Okay, that's how I found out people die now, and that's annoying. So that's one thing about Facebook. But the more I'm on TikTok over the last week, I'm like a TikTok expert now. The more I'm on TikTok, the dumber Facebook looks, the more old it looks, the more old-fashioned it looks, and out of the loop it looks to me. So Facebook desperately trying to cling to life and stay relevant. Is that what's happening here? Because that's kind of how I'm interpreting it now.
I think that's the case. That's kind of how I'm interpreting it. No, like I said, nobody thinks of Meta AI whenever they think about AI. Like, in my opinion, Meta's not even a player in this space.
So
this
I can say the same about Apple.
This tries to
Apple
make them... Well, Apple Intelligence is literally just Gemini. They made a multi-billion-dollar deal with Google.
It's a joke. It doesn't do anything. It makes my phone light up in a color, and it does nothing for me compared to anything else.
I'm curious what Meta does with this, if they integrate any Facebook books into it, if they Facebookize it, if that is a word. I don't know.
What it'll do?
It's just a very interesting space, and I think it's them like grasping at straws.
Here's my conspiracy theory is that Facebook will just have it spin up user accounts so it never looks like Facebook is losing users. Because it will lose users because there are so many alternatives. Facebook is still the biggest thing in the world. Okay. And it hooks up to WhatsApp, which is also the biggest thing in the world. But over time, I think people are going to get more inclined towards surfing vertical videos. Because let's face it, everybody on TikTok isn't a creator. They're not posting content, but they are consuming it. So if I want to consume content, I'm probably going to go to TikTok or Divine or something where I can watch video because the rest of it, people aren't going to fucking read anymore. People don't read, they skim, right? We know this. We've known this for years. So the Facebook content is, they really just want people there so they can sell ads. So they're just going to spin up users, bots that don't exist so they can keep selling ads. And Zuck gets to keep having his goat named Bitcoin or whatever weird stuff he's into at the moment.
Bitcoin. Yep.
He gets a gold chain.
Yeah.
Jiu-jitsu.
I think so. Meta has this, what do they call it? Their super intelligence labs. So this book is joining super intelligence labs. Like, I think it's an interesting play. Maybe they'll use it. Maybe they'll work on and train their super intelligence that they're working on. I don't know. It's an interesting play.
That's probably it.
I'm curious where it's at in 6 months.
Yeah, they're going to do whatever gets them paid, first of all. They're going to do whatever. Sure. Although we have watched them spectacularly fail over the last few years when it comes to AI. I can't think of one particular example, but just like my blanket memory is like, yeah, they haven't done so well in that department. They need to do well. So they're just trying to bite off of somebody else's success, and they'll find a way to make money or optimize ads. Or that's just all they're going to end up doing with it. Or they train the models so that they can sell better ads. Like, that's all it comes down to. In the end, just follow the money. That's all they care about is selling your data and my data and making sure that I know every time I log into Facebook that somebody else I know has died. Because that's all it's good for at this point. Tell me, you don't use Facebook, but tell people in the comments listening.
I don't use Facebook anymore.
Watching on YouTube, whatever. Like, tell me, if you ever log on to Facebook now, what's the first thing you find? It pops up with like, hey, this person you know is dead now. You're dead. That's what Facebook is good for.
I mean, that's sad, but I guess, I don't know. You need to
know
these
things. It's a sign
of
the times. You've been on Facebook so long that the people you know there are dying.
Okay, so you know how my brain is. A little bit of the tism, I guess.
A little bit soupy?
Yeah, look, this just made me think of something, and I want it's related. So recently, scientists mapped a fly's brain, covering all the neurons, all the synapses, everything.
That's not the brain I would have mapped, but go on.
Okay, so they map a fly's brain, fully understand how it works. Then they essentially put it in a 3D world, the fly in a 3D world.
Hmm.
The fly, they uploaded the brain to a network. The fly then flies around its virtual environment, lands on food and eats the food. Like, it literally is like Black Mirror episodes where you're up, or the TV show Upload, where you're up, where your consciousness, your brain is uploaded to this virtual realm and you interact. We literally do have this now for flies. So
do the flies need to leave the samsara, or are they stuck in the samsara?
Well,
do they gain consciousness?
Because you're saying Facebook is the place you go to find out where people that died, that made me, and we know that Mark Zuckerberg's evil. That just made me think of, like, eventually people will, like, upload their brains to Facebook, and that will be like the heaven or whatever. Anyways,
this is getting spiritual, man. We're talking about flies and the samsara and getting out of
it's. It's just how my brain works, you know. I'm always connecting the dots.
Is that how the brain works, or is that how it falls off the tracks, Derek?
A little bit of both. A little bit of both. All right. Let's bring it back. All right. So let's talk a little bit about social decentralized, not Noster, the blue version. Some of you have heard of Blue Sky.
First of all, Blue Sky is not truly decentralized, but go off, King.
Well, on what? How it's not decentralized? Because, oh, we could do that.
We could do that. No, I don't want to do that today, because that has been said. You can Google that. You can ask your Claudebot to find out for you.
Ask your OpenClaw, why isn't Blue Sky as decentralized as Noster? And find that out. So, Jay, is her last name Graber or Graber?
I think it's Graber. Okay. We'll make her Graber.
Jay Graber, the CEO or former now CEO of Blue Sky, she has stepped down. She has said she's going to transition to a more innovative role.
Good for
and
her.
They're going to look for a CEO that is seasoned and professional and can focus on infrastructure and growth.
I get that, because sometimes you don't want to be the CEO. The CEO's got to do sales, right? So, like, if you still want to innovate and have fun, you can't be CEO. You got to be a business person. So,
who are they going to tap in the social space that is familiar with innovation and growth, Heather?
Not you, because you're the Noster CEO. Wink, wink. I've been pissing them off, calling them that for like a year and a half. But no, who are they going to get to run be the CEO of Blue Sky? If only somebody knew how to run a social media network.
You know, I'm not going to say who my first thought was, because that's a very incredible conspiracy.
Yeah,
it's a very incredible conspiracy, and I don't want to.
But what if
you're
right?
What if you're right? I don't want to have this show. I don't want to have this show linked to this craziness, but we'll see.
Out of all the things we've said on this podcast, you think that's going to be the craziest thing today? I literally brought up the shocker. I said was the shocker. You're going to block me after this, aren't you?
I'm trying.
He's so embarrassed.
I'm trying.
Like, anyway,
I can't
talk about that with my sister. Ew.
Try and talk about tech nerd stuff, Heather. Come on.
And I'm talking about the shocker. But anyway, this is going to be our best episode yet. People are just going to love the bullshittery that we get into. But no. Actually, your incendiary conspiracy theory, which I already know what it is, and he won't say it out loud, so everybody else can guess what it is.
It's just weird. I'm probably not right. I was just trying to put some dots together where dots weren't in a line, you know? But we'll see what happens.
You were thinking, somebody we may be somewhat a few degrees of separation away from me take that job. And
Alex
then
Alex isn't going to take that. No,
Alex would be like, ew, I'm not touching that. Yeah, I'm getting that on.
You know what? I'm just going to go ahead and say it. Fiat Jeff is going to be the new CEO of Blue Sky.
He would definitely not return that call. He's like, get away from me.
Yeah, Dad, I'm sorry. I was just making a joke. Please don't.
Dad won't even say good morning back to me, much less would he return that call. He ain't got
speaking
time
of,
for that mess.
Speaking of Dad, I'm going to go off onto a Derek segue right here. So the app called Wisp by UTXO, I was testing it out over the weekend. He told me to look into its onboarding and to see what I thought, what my honest opinion on the onboarding was. Noster generally sucks at onboarding. We just haven't figured out how to do it yet. So I looked at his app, and he does a really unique take on it that I really liked, and I haven't seen anywhere else. So whenever you click on, you know, create an account or create a profile, whatever it says, it goes through the key generation process, the bio, the about me, the username, the upload, the standard stuff. The next screen is really, really cool because this is when you have to discover people to follow so your feed isn't dead. So it suggests two people to follow at the very top. The first person is Fiat Jeff, the creator of Noster. And then the second person is UTXO, the creator of Wisp. And I kind of laughed at that they were the very first two people at the top to follow.
Does Wisp do again?
It's a Noster client, like Domus, Primal, Ditto.
Okay. I know we Amethyst. Talked about it last week, but I was not feeling well last week, and so I didn't remember.
It's an Android app. Okay. Think of it as like a competitor to Amethyst.
So I can't use it. All right.
Yeah.
This is the other problem in the tech space. Some of y'all.
So after the header where you have the two people to follow, down below it says follow these people that are active right now. So what it does is it literally scans the network for people that are actually active and posting content. Ooh. So you would immediately get content in your feed. So you can follow these dozen people that it suggests
That's interesting. Okay. That's interesting. I like
that.
So okay. I don't like that part.
Well, then the next part I really like then. So when you hit next, it takes you right to your feed. And the feed that it takes you to isn't the dozen people that you just followed. It is an extended feed. It's a web of trust feed. So it's all those dozen or two dozen people or whatever that you just decided to follow. It's their web of trust. So it's who they're following and who they're following. So you immediately get a massive amount of content from people that are active and can start engaging with, you know, right away. Cool. I've never seen web of trust utilized like that. I've never seen active users used like that. So
we're going to start seeing that now. Unique. That's cool. Like that's cool.
It's something unique. We haven't seen it. And I thought it was kind of innovative.
By the way, have you ever looked up your web of trust score on Noster? Have you?
Mine?
Have you looked at it? Yeah.
Well, it depends
on. I mean, you're like an OG, so yours should be like super high.
I mean, there's, three or four places that are calculating Web of Trust. I don't know what mine is. Yeah. I'm sure it's up there.
I look at mine on Coracle. So my score is now 844, which is higher than a FICO score.
Well, you say that, but people say that Web of Trust is just like a FICO score or a social credit score.
I say that like laughing at it, but that was the first time I looked at it and I went, well, you know, I've watched this go up. I mean, I'm on Noster like pretty much every day posting whatever, you know, in yucks and memes and whatever. But so like I've been around long enough that I should have a high score. You as well. But then like the new people coming in are going to be like, oh, my score is like 3. And so like maybe we need to build something into the Web of Trust score that like reinforces posting on Noster and some retention. Like, hey, you posted today. Yeah. Get a little streak, which our new app Ditto has that. Our new app. The new version of the app Ditto that we have has that with the little streaks. Well, like how you post.
Well, speaking of the Ditto, we should probably talk about it for a little bit. It's not fully
launched,
but it's kind of soft launched, right? Like you can go and use it now. The iOS app is not ready yet. The Android app isn't ready yet, but you can use the web version while it's kind of in like a public beta.
Give us some feedback. You can test it.
Yeah, we have a user group set up. So go ahead and send me or Heather a DM in the comments. Comment, hey, I want in the Ditto user group and I can toss you an invite to the group. We have some people. So the group that we have, you know, is just for early user feedback, finding bugs, suggestions, things like that. It's going to help us shape the future of Ditto. But right now you can go ahead and use it. And I think the coolest feature is the themes, how you can just customize not only your app, but your profile, how you want to be seen and what you want to see. It's really cool. It's very MySpace-esque. Have you played around with some of the themes, Heather?
Yeah, because I like the theme. I like the grunge theme, which is like very pink and black. And then I clicked through to somebody's profile outside of my little inner circle who probably hasn't even picked their theme yet. And it went back to like white screen. And I was like, oh, you know, I forgot that other people aren't using it enough and picking themes. So for a second there, I was like, this is like being on MySpace. And then I clicked through to the whoever's profile it was. And I was like, oh, we're back on the boring internet again. And just don't realize It's a little thing, the theme thing. You don't think it's significant that you can personalize your experience until you do. And then, like, when you step away from it for a second, you navigate away from it for a second to somebody who's uninitiated and hasn't used Ditto to make a cool theme for their Noster. It's like, oh, wow, record scratch. Like, the aesthetic just, like, the train fell off the tracks. So that's been an interesting thing. And I really like it. It just looks better on my browser. I love that I have that theme. And we've had boring internet. I'm not just talking about Noster. I'm talking about the whole thing. We've had boring internet for way too long. How are we tired of Facebook's blue and white yet? You know, are we tired of it? This is your chance to express yourself like we did on MySpace. That is very fun. And if that is the thing so that you people can gravitate towards already.
You can customize pretty much almost everything, right? Like not only the theme, like, so you can do your fonts, you can do your, like, background images, you can do the text color, you can do all the buttons and all the separators and all the boxes, like color and theme, all of that. Like
I'm happy with the
really,
theme.
Really cool.
I'm happy with the theme that I picked.
We have like a dozen themes or whatever out of the box you can choose from, but you can copy somebody else's custom theme they made. You can use somebody else's custom theme.
It's open source.
You can make your own custom themes, like themes out the ass. In this private beta, themes are actually the most popular custom feature.
You know,
when I said themes out the ass, you got a little too excited for that, Heather.
But I love that we can customize the experience, not just with the themes, but you can customize your feed. If you just want to have it be like Twitter and just read people's text posts, go for it. You know, prioritize that. You know, the same thing if you just want Divine videos, which, by the way, if you sign up,
you could do that.
See my cats on Divine.
You could sign up for that. If you want to have a Divine video feed and have it be in the sidebar, if you want it to actually even be your only feed, like you open up maybe for whatever reason, let's say example, you
I
don't
just
like
want cat
the Divine
videos.
App, but you just want Divine videos so you can see Heather's cats, you can make that your only feed if you wanted to. Like you could do that. It's really cool.
My cats will absolutely thrill you.
So you can't easily do that elsewhere. So you can make custom feeds from search queries. You can make custom feeds from all these different kinds of other stuff that exist on Noster. And you can use these as your main feeds. You can use lists as feeds, like hashtags as feeds, pretty much literally anything that exists. You can have a feed of it. It's really cool. Like make the internet fun again.
Oh, yeah.
Make the internet cool
like
again.
Name. Make the internet cool again.
And that's what you're doing with Ditto.
I'm going to order that as merch. I'm going to order Mika hats. And
can you show up in a month and a half here to
Vegas?
Las Vegas with that hat, please? Yeah.
Oh, God,
see
yes.
It.
I will hand them out at every gas station.
I'll tell you
the
what.
Way.
I will take one too. I'll wear a. One too.
We'll get you a Mika hat, and we're gonna tell the bosses, say, we've come up with something. We've come up with the ultimate marketing positioning. We're gonna make the internet cool again, Mika. And
you've heard of MAGA. Wait till you hear about Mika.
And then it'll be just like Noster, where people argue about how to pronounce it. Is it Mika or is it Mika? Is it Noster or is it Noster?
Yeah, we'll get some of that going on because we like to make things complicated.
We like to argue. Derek and I have made like a year and a half relationship out of arguing.
We do. That's sometimes your sister is wrong and you just have to tell her that she is.
Sometimes your brother's a freaking tool, man. And a Boy Scout, too. Oddly enough, at the same time.
So this week, I'm heading to Austin to go to Bitcoin Takeover. And I will be talking about the convergence of Bitcoin payments and AI and what stuff means.
Where are you going?
It's in Austin at Bitcoin Park during South by Southwest week.
Is it Bitcoin Commons or Bitcoin Park? It's Bitcoin Park now.
Well,
I just had a brain fart.
It was Bitcoin Commons until about a year ago, and then they joined forces to conquer the world and became part of Bitcoin Park.
What street is that? Yes. But Congress Ave?
It's like 600 Congress Avenue, something like that.
Why do I remember random shit like this? Okay, so you're going to go to Bitcoin Park. You're going to the Bitcoin Takeover. Derek is speaking. On what day?
I'm going to be on a panel with like-minded individuals on the 12th. the 12th.
On the 12th. That's in 2 days.
So there's probably still time to go. No, because this podcast comes out on the 12th. You will not be able to go if you are not already there right now.
Shit, we should release this early, man. We should, because while you're on the plane, you can release this on the plane, that, man. I'm flying in.
Releases on a plane. There you go. We don't have the vibe coding jam sessions anymore. Those of you that are followers of the podcast and the jam session, we kind of cut that out after 7.5 months. We stopped doing it mostly because they just turned into the same questions from week to week. And they were more, which is fine to have these questions, but the community aspect had started to dwindle and it was more just like tech support questions. And I love tech support questions and I will continue to help. I will continue to help everybody out that needs
help. You're the guy.
But I think that it is boring for other people to come in and listen to that when they just really wanted to see the cool shit that people were building.
Yeah. We've done it for a long time. It's time to do something.
We're going
to
retool. Fresh. We're going to take this tool and we're going to tweak it and
revive.
We're going to revive and we're going to come back. And I'll give you a sneak peek if you're on the podcast and you're listening. We're going to retool to make this more of an AOS vibe coding jam session. And other stuff, which is the organization, the collective of builders and thinkers and vibers that we are part of.
So we're hacktivists.
We are?
We're nerds. We're hacktivists. We're all of that. We welcome all of it.
We're going to make it a show and tell, because historically, many of the people that are involved in AOS are horrible about bragging about all the cool stuff that they built. And I think that they need to, because they're building really cool stuff. So I think giving us a medium to be able to do that, I think will be fun. And I think it'll still be good for the community, because the community can come in and see these early iterations, get Duke's Q&A sessions, talk with the people building, and learn about the tools that people are using to build. So I think the direction is going to be good.
I like that. It takes the spotlight off of, like, I don't know, one thing or one entity, and brings it back into the whole organization, so that some of the people who are a little quieter, as our group is a little bit quiet. Not everybody's as loud. Derek and Heather, we're very loud people. But we're the extroverts, I guess, of the gang. And we have a lot of super talented. The best people are the introverted ones who aren't posting on social media all of the time. Those are the people who are really working and shipping and putting things together. Yes, these things don't mix. So they need the Derekster to bring out a little bit of that and bring out what they're doing that maybe it's just not in their personality. It's just not in their daily life to be like, hey, I'm getting on YouTube and a podcast and social media. I'm going to talk about my thing. I'm going to market my thing. I'm going to bring my idea to the world. Like the best people just aren't built that way. And this is what I've noticed being in this space now for a couple of years. You know, your best producers who make the best things most of the time don't give a crap about posting online and talking about what they're doing. That's just how it is.
Absolutely. I agree. I think that we're still trying to get buy-in though. So there's been a few people that have agreed to it and thought it was a good idea. So we just need to convince a few others and then just schedule it and get people to show up. So we'll keep you posted. Yeah. Check us out on the Noster. Follow us. Follow Soapbox Sessions. Follow Soapbox. And we'll let you know when the AOS Vibe Coding Jam session happens.
Yeah. Awesome.
Anything else around the Nosterverse we need to talk about, Heather? Anything else cool you see popping up?
No, sir. Well, you know what? Come on out to DC this weekend. The Runster District 5K and the after party at Punky.
Yeah.
I can't physically be there, but Radio Detox will be there. And David Tarr is going to take over, do an artist takeover for me. Ooh. And that's because he's dropping new music. I mean, any second now. He was going to do it on Sunday because of all the Runster stuff that we're doing in DC at Pubkey and Haynes Point. But he actually may drop that music just a little bit sooner. So be watching your
fountain. That's pretty cool. Like,
new music coming.
Very cool.
Why not? Why not? Let's do it.
All right. Well, I don't think there's anything else that we need to hit up, so we might end early this week. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening.
We're out.